We've been talking about Joseph the last couple of Sundays, and we're going to continue with his story. If you've been with us, you know where we left off. He was in prison. He's been falsely accused of rape or attempted rape. It was his word, the word of a slave, against the word of his master's wife. No judge, no jury. Just thrown in prison indefinitely. No chance of parole, no appeal process. I tried to imagine what this would feel like for Joseph, and I'd like you to try and think about that as well. What would this feel like to be in this kind of situation? We've all experienced different kinds of trouble and maybe even persecution, but none of us have really experienced something like this. I haven't. I've been falsely accused of things before, but nothing this terrible. I've had my reputation tarnished before. But to be treated like a slave, I have no idea what that would be like. No voice, no rights, and to be thrown into prison. Some of you work in the prison, you know a little bit about what it's like to be in the prison, but not to be there as an inmate, maybe. It must have been a hopeless feeling, like his life was over before it even began. He was a young man. The question still remained for Joseph here. What was going to happen to him? Of course, last week, we looked at the scripture that tells us that the Lord was with him while he was in prison. The Lord gave him success, if we can imagine success in prison. Even in our darkest valleys, the Lord is with us, and we can be successful. But still, he's in prison, right? And he had to be thinking, would he ever be released? Am I ever going to get out of here? He's in a valley. Am I ever going to see my family again? Am I ever going to be a free man again? And then all the questions of dreams for the future. Am I going to have a family? Am I going to be able to provide for them? Am I going to be able to do, and all the things that we think of. This is a young man. His whole life is ahead of him, and here he is, a slave in prison. He had to have been struggling with that. And if you remember in the beginning of the story, before these events took place, we see Joseph as somewhat of an arrogant young teenager, 17-year-old. Kind of had the world by the tail. He was the favored one in his family. And the world seems to be set up for him. And then he falls into this valley. This week, we will see a young man of faith who I believe will inspire us to live a life of greater purpose and meaning than when we came here this morning. That's what I believe is going to happen here today. We pick up the story in Genesis chapter 40, and if you want to follow along, you're welcome to. I'm not going to read all the story. It's lengthy. And once again, I'll encourage you to read it when you get home or this week, just to fill in the details that I may have not touched on. Genesis chapter 40. We have two of Pharaoh's officials, the chief baker and the chief cupbearer. They get on Pharaoh's bad side, okay? I don't know what they did, it doesn't really say, but they get on his bad side. And you don't want to get on the bad side of Pharaoh. And so what happens, he throws them into prison. Just so happens to be the same place where Joseph is. And while they're in prison, you have to remember Joseph was put in charge of the whole prison, everybody in the prison. So he knew the prisoners. He would interact with all of them. And while they're in prison, they both have a dream. How many of you had a dream last night? Anybody? Yeah, a few of you had some dreams. I don't know what you think about your dreams, but mine never seemed that significant, but I won't talk about mine. But We'll talk about their dreams. But they both had a dream. And they were troubled by the dream because they knew there was some significance to these dreams that they had. And they were talking about them, and they were upset about it. They were sad. And Joseph notices that they're sad. And we find his response in verse 8. And what does he tell them? He says, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." Once again, we see the confident side of Joseph coming out, don't we? It looked like arrogance when he was 17, and it's starting to change here. There's some confidence in here. Tell me your dreams. God can interpret these. And so they each tell him their dream. Starting with the chief cupbearer, he dreamed about a vine with three branches, and that he took the grapes from the branches and he squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup. And Joseph gives the interpretation in verse 13, where it says, "Within 3 days," he says, "Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer." Wonderful interpretation to the dream, a wonderful outcome. And but Joseph looks at this, and he sees an opportunity. You have to think he's looking for whatever way he can get out of his situation. We all would be looking for a way to get out. And so he takes an opportunity here, and he goes on to tell him, "But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." So we get a little window into how Joseph is feeling about this. Even though God is with him, even though he knows that, even though God has given him success there, he doesn't want to be in a dungeon. We want to get out of the valleys, don't we? And so we see part of Joseph's heart here, a glimpse of how he's feeling about his life. Maybe this is where God will deliver him out of the valley. Maybe this is how he will escape. Well, we go on to the chief baker's dream. Of course, he likes what he heard, the interpretation that was given for the chief cupbearer, and so he's anxious to hear, "What's the interpretation of my dream?" And so he tells his dream of the three baskets of bread on his head, and the birds were eating the baked goods out of the top basket. And what does Joseph tell him in verse 19? "Within 3 days, Pharaoh will not lift up your head, he will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Not quite what the chief baker was looking for. But Joseph just laid it out, what the interpretation was. I remember hearing this story as a child, and there were pictures, and I remember thinking, it's just like, I was kind of freaked out by it. Like, this is kind of sickening to think of what happened to this guy. But it's just laid out it there in Scripture, what happened. There's quite a contrast between these two interpretations. And so, 3 days later, it happened exactly as Joseph said that it would. The baker was hanged. The cupbearer was restored to his position. And so, Joseph has got to be thinking, is this the time? Is this the time that I'll be rescued? Surely the cupbearer will stand up for me. I gave him his interpretation to his dream. I helped him out. Surely he's going to help me out and put in a good word for me with Pharaoh. He knows him. He works with him every day. That's what's going to happen, right? This is my time to get out. My time to be rescued. But we see in verse 23, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And we're thinking, wait a second, this isn't how the story is supposed to work. Have you ever read a story and you said, wait, no, that's not... I wouldn't have started reading this book if this is how it's going to turn out. Or I wouldn't have watched this movie if I knew the ending was like this. This isn't how it's supposed to work. And I'm wondering for you, have you ever been in a situation where you've been asking, God, give us an answer, you know? Tell me where this is going to go. Help us out. Help us get out of this valley. Help us get to the next point where we want to be. And you see a solution, or multiple, you say, this is it. I know it. This is God's solution. This is how God is going to provide for us. Isn't that awesome? It doesn't happen. In fact, in chapter 41, verse 1, it kind of emphasizes that. It says, 2 full years went by. 2 full years. That's a long time to be sitting in prison wondering what's going to happen. When am I going to get out of here? And so in chapter 41, we have the rest of the story here. Pharaoh has a dream. A lot of dreaming going on here. From the beginning of Joseph's life all the way through, a lot of dreaming. I don't know the significance of that. But there was no one in all of Egypt who could interpret the dream. Pharaoh got all his wise men, magicians to come and tell him what was the interpretation of the dream, and no one in all of Egypt could tell him what the interpretation of the dream was. And once again, Pharaoh obviously knew that this dream had some great significance. And so he's troubled by this dream. He needs the interpretation. He needs to know, what does it mean? It means something, and I don't know what it means. And nobody else knows what it means. And finally, the chief cupbearer remembers, I've been an idiot. There's this Hebrew guy who interpreted my dream when I was in prison. And so Pharaoh sends for him, for Joseph. And let's pick up in chapter 41, verse 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. This is his chance, isn't it? The chance he's been waiting for. Here he is with Pharaoh, the ruler of the land. No one higher than him in authority. He can solve Joseph's problem here. And he says, I've heard you can interpret dreams, Joseph. So, what is Joseph going to do here? What is his response? Verse 16. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh. Wait a second here. Joseph, think about this. This is your chance. What are you telling him? I can't do it? It's ridiculous. He could interpret dreams, right? I mean, he did. Didn't he interpret the dreams for these other guys? Well, no, wait a second. If you go back and look at that, he said, God can interpret dreams, didn't he? That's what he said, actually. He didn't say, I can interpret. He said, God can do that. Of course, the cupbearer kind of missed that. And Joseph repeats it right here from the start. He says, I cannot do it. He didn't lose his nerve. He didn't lose his confidence because he goes on to say, I cannot do it. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. This is a different person than we see at the beginning of the story. This arrogant young man who really, his confidence seemed to be largely in himself. His focus seemed to be largely on himself at the beginning of the story. But here we see his confidence has not changed, but it has not wavered, but the focus has shifted. It is no longer on himself, but his confidence is in God, in what God can do. When I was studying this week, I use a website called Bible Study Tools. And you know how websites are, they have these banners and stuff. And as I was right here, I flipped to copy a verse in, and here across the top of the screen was this banner that said, "You are destined for victory. Buy my book." And it just disgusted me, I'll tell you. I see this stuff all over. You. Pastors are preaching it. You. It's all about you. God wants something for you. He has something for you. And if you do whatever, you do this or that, you'll get it. It's so contrary to Scripture. So contrary. The message of the Bible is deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Joseph gets this, okay? He gets it. He says, "I cannot do it. This is not about me." If you think, don't even get it in your head that this is about me being able to interpret your dream, because right from the start, this is not about me. I cannot do it. He is denying himself. He is denying the opportunity that he might have here. He could have said, "Hey, let's make a deal. Okay? I'll tell you the interpretation of your dream if you get me out of the prison." And I don't doubt that maybe went through his head. "I can work this. I can work this for my benefit. This is my opportunity." But Joseph doesn't do that. He knows that this is not about him. He says, "I cannot do it. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Joseph is becoming my hero, okay? A real man, a godly man, one to be admired by young men today. Okay? This statement says volumes. Underline it. Memorize it. And it's the title of my message. I kind of shortened it a little bit, but I just shortened it to "I can't, but God will." I can't, but God will. It says a lot. Joseph purposely draws attention away from himself. "I cannot do it. I can't. I am no wiser than any of your other magicians and wise men. I'm in the same category." Right from the get-go, he makes it clear, it's not about me. And we caught a glimpse of that last week, because Scripture says that his master noticed that God was with him. His jailer noticed that God was with him. So we caught a glimpse of that already. This is not about me, so don't even go there. You will get an answer because God himself will give it to you. He had confidence. He had great confidence. But his confidence was in the Lord. Much of the teaching coming from so-called Christian preachers today is about you. How you can be happy. How you can get what you want. How you can achieve your goals. How you can be healed. You. And I think we need to pay more attention to the preaching, because it's so deceptive. And you know, it just feels good to us, really. Yeah, I like that. It's popular. We like it when it's about us. Well, Joseph turns the spotlight off of himself and places it on God. He doesn't try and make a deal. He doesn't try and work it to his advantage. "I cannot do it, but God will." And so we come to the dream. Pharaoh tells Joseph his dream of the 7 fat, sleek cows. I never knew a cow could be sleek, but anyway, it says they were sleek. At least that's my translation. And then a similar second dream of 7 healthy heads of grain being eaten by 7 sickly heads of grain. I skipped the part. The sleek cows were eaten by the seven scrawny, ugly, lean cows. So what is Joseph's response as he hears the dream? We could predict it, right? Verse 25, where does he start? God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Emphasizing again, God has revealed to you. It's not me, God. And Joseph begins to tell Pharaoh the meaning of the dreams. In verse 28, he repeats it again. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. You think Pharaoh is getting the message? Probably. Repetition. And then the interpretation of the dream. Joseph explains that there will be 7 years of abundance followed by 7 years of famine. And then in verse 32, the reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter, what? The matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. Now there's some confidence, people. The matter has been firmly decided by God, and He will do it soon. You've got to remember who Joseph is talking to. We have a slave, a Hebrew slave, he's not his country, coming from the dungeons to talk to Pharaoh. And he speaks very boldly to this ruler of this nation. I've got a question for you. Is your life about God or is it about you? Do you lift God up like Joseph does here in this story? Joseph tells Pharaoh there is a God and He can control the harvest and all that affects it, and He can speak to you in your dreams, and you'd better get ready because He has made up His mind to do this. He's talking to the most powerful ruler in that part of the country. He doesn't sound like a slave or somebody who's in prison, does he? He's very confident. And so I wonder for us, how do we present God? Do we have this kind of faith that obviously Joseph shows? This is faith. This is belief. This is a witness. This is turning the spotlight off of ourselves and onto God. I can't, but God will. Makes me think of Nehemiah, who, remember, was building the wall. And he comes against some opposition, and he says, the God of heaven will give us success. Who are we? We, His servants. We, His servants, will start rebuilding. There is confidence. There is a witness. And I wonder how it is that we portray God to people around us. Do we have that kind of confidence? This is not arrogance here. This is confidence. It's a difference. And then Joseph presents a plan that God gave him to save the people from the upcoming famine. Find a wise, discerning man to implement this plan. And in verse 37, we see Pharaoh getting the message. It says, the plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials, so Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man? One, what? One in whom the Spirit of God? One in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. Pharaoh got the message This is all about God. Pharaoh believed the message, didn't he? He believed in this God that Joseph is talking about. And so, Joseph benefits because of what? Because of what God is doing. In an unprecedented move, Pharaoh places an unknown young Hebrew man from the dungeons, a slave. He places him in charge of the whole palace and the whole land of Egypt. Now think about that for a moment. How in the world can that happen? For Pharaoh to place this young man, who is a nobody, the nobody of nobodies in that place, to place him in this kind of a position. It's an amazing thing. It's a testimony to the power of God. He got the message. He was overawed by God and his revelation. And of course, God took care of Joseph. And Joseph made sure that God received the glory that was due him. I'm wondering, is it possible that Joseph was in prison for over 2 years for this very purpose? What do you think? Is it possible that he was there for this very reason? For this time and place? Was he there for that? Is it possible that he was rejected and sold into slavery for this very purpose? As I think of stories in the New Testament, is it possible that a man might be born blind from birth, not because of his sins or the sins of his parents, but solely so that the work of God might be displayed in his life? Is that possible? Well, Jesus says it is. Is it possible that our valleys might be for God's glory? That all of it might be intended for God's glory. Is that possible? Is it possible that the purpose of life is not about my own personal fulfillment, but for the glory of God? Is it possible that there is something greater and more powerful and more amazing and more important than making me happy and answering all of my questions and making life turn out the way that I think it should turn out? Is that possible? Jesus didn't teach us to pray, "My kingdom come, my will be done." No. He said, pray like this: "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That's how we're to pray. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and I'll take care of the rest. Don't worry about that. I'll take care of you. But seek first the kingdom. As I heard someone say, I like this illustration. We are like a big mirror, deflecting attention from ourselves and pointing it to God. And it works both ways, okay? That's the one direction. The other direction is when God pours out his blessing on us, we are to deflect that into the lives of others. It goes both ways. I cannot do it, but God will. And of course, we need to be careful about the God will part. That's the part that everybody loves to say, well, God will do this. He's going to do this for me. He's going to do this for me. But we aren't telling God what he will do. Joseph wasn't telling God what he will do. He simply recognized what God was doing and told Pharaoh what God would do. We are acknowledging his power, his sovereignty, and his ability to carry out his will and his purposes. I can't lead this church. I can't preach a sermon. I can't. I can't do it effectively. But God can use me. And God can accomplish His purposes. He can lead this church. He can accomplish what He wants to do here. Whether I feel successful in that or not. Whether I feel like it's going the direction I think it should go or not, He will do it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We can be confident that He will do it, but we cannot do it. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know the valleys that you might be struggling with, or maybe the solutions that you are convinced that God is going to work out. But I would encourage you to follow the example of Joseph here and understand there's so much more than your fulfillment and your desires to be carried out. There's so much bigger plan that's being worked out that we get to be a part of, you and I. We get to be one of those people who shines the spotlight on God and all that He is and all that He's doing. I want to close with a passage from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.